Here the Turtle is presented by Toyota. Toyota helps you get the most out of your drive. Just ask a friend who drives one. Shop buyatoyota.com, Toyota's official website for deals, to find the Toyota that's right for you. Toyota, let's go places. Wednesday, December 4th, 2019, and Keith, first of all, you look fantastic coming back from a sunny weekend in Orlando.
Thank you.
And not only did you come back with a nice tan, a little time in the sun, but you came back with a trophy as the Terps basketball team won the Orlando Invitational and now goes into the ACC Big Ten Challenge tonight, Wednesday night, against Notre Dame. What a run for the Terps in Orlando, Keith. Played fantastic in that final game against Marquette. After some shaky starts those first two games, they put the doubters away. And that last game shut down Marcus Howard, played great on the offensive end. And now the number three team in the country, starting to look like a top five team in the country.
And led by Anthony Cowan Jr., the MVP of that tournament, averaged 24 points, 4.3 assists, 2.3 steals, and 3.0 rebounds, Taylor.
Not too bad.
To earn the tournament's MVP accolades. And he obviously was incredible, had some big-time shots, got to the lane, got to the foul line, did what he had to do. But Daryl Morsell, obviously, needs to get a mention as well.
Absolutely.
With his defensive effort. Probably played the game of his career against Marquette, or one of the games of his career. 1 point short off his career high in points. He had 17 points. I think he had his second straight double-double in that game. And locking down one of the nation's leading scorer up to that point, Marcus Howard, in one of the more impressive defensive efforts of a Maryland team that we've seen this year or last season, being able to really stifle that Marquette offense. And like you mentioned, a couple games where you think Maryland should be able to put those games away with Temple and Harvard, but able to really put together maybe their first complete game of the season against Marquette.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously Marquette, with Howard having the 51 points in the previous game against USC, there's a lot of pride in trying to stop a guy like that. And you saw Daryl Morsell really take that on well. He was so good at all facets of the game throughout the weekend, besides Cowan, Maryland's most consistent player. But I thought throughout the weekend, you saw different guys step up at different times besides Anthony Cowan. But a good example of that was in that first game against Temple. Eric Ayala in that last 2 minutes was able to create his own shot. The drive to the lane in the last 2 minutes where he sort of faked a kick out to the corner. So I believe Jalen Smith was out there potentially. And then just put up the layup was just a great little move and just a good example of his ability to create at the end of games. And Maryland just has so many guys that can give you offense. You can say, hey, Daryl, go stop. Obviously, Daryl did more than just stop Marcus Howard in that game. But you can say, hey, go start Marcus Howard. We've got enough guys to come out here and play offense, and Sticks and Cowan and Wiggins and Ayala. And if Dante Scott continues to play with that kind of confidence, just so many different options to throw out on the court. And they really did look complete against Marquette and sort of showed what they could be. I think in those first two games, as you said, Keith, closed very well, but, brought some nerves up with those slow starts, and that's what's been happening to the Terps. But Mark Turgeon put his best, and he said it in media availability yesterday, put his best five on the floor to start the game against Marquette, and they made a statement in all 40 minutes. That's great for Maryland fans to see. Anthony Cowan, I think we just have to harp on it. I mean, that's what you want your senior leader to do in all three of those games. Just took the games over with his scoring, just was hitting deep three-pointers, late shot clock, which is sometimes you're going to have to do that. Sometimes you're going to run an offensive set or do whatever, and it's going to be well defended. And if you have guys that can create late clock like that, Anthony Cowan showed the ability to not only get in the lane but also hit those very deep three-pointers. If he can show that kind of leadership, and he continued to show that even off the floor, bringing Morsell over for an ESPN interview when he did not have
to.
They just asked for Cowan. He said, I want Daryl Morsell. He contributed so much to this win. He is really coming into his own on and off the floor as a leader and as an on-court presence, and that is an incredibly exciting thing to see if you're a Maryland fan, Keith.
Yeah, career high 30 points against Temple. Maybe got lost in the shuffle of, you know, the excitement of that championship win. But he took over that game late in the game. You needed somebody to step up. Things aren't going well. You're not able to create opportunities other places. Someone's got to step up, and he did that. And you know, one more thing on Daryl Morsell. He had two threes early in that Marquette game, or maybe it was one in the first, one in the second, and was able to kind of shoot inside that zone, you know, get into the paint, hit some of those jumpers, you know, when Marquette was playing that zone and things weren't open on the outside and whatever it was. But, you know, he really came to play, and Terps are 8-0, Taylor.
Terps are 8-0, and that's exactly what you want. Best start since 06-07, Keith, and you'll hear Aaron Wiggins talk about it in an interview with him, just to give you a little tease on that. He said when they were feeling against Marquette, they were almost just laughing on the bench.
That's right.
How things were going well. And that's when you know a team is really confident, when they're just sort of out there flowing and playing like that.
Basketball's supposed to be fun, right?
It's supposed to be fun. There's no doubt about it. And Maryland is showing. I thought the Mitchell twins came into their own throughout that tournament, which will be nice if they can continue to show that confidence as guys that can, you know, give you a little energy down low. And I don't think we've seen the best of Stick Smith yet. And that's a scary thing. If he was not quiet in that tournament, but, you know, the guards and the wings were the guys that stepped up. You're going to have games where Sticks is going to be able to dominate down low, and you play that inside-outside game. I thought the Terps also showed a lot of versatility defensively. Mark Turgeon threw them out in a couple of zone looks. The man-to-man defense got better as the weekend went on. I think it struggled a little bit again the first two games, but against Marcus Howard, I think they defended man-to-man absolutely fantastically and just shut down the best scorer on the other team. So, as we said, Terps have a giant matchup against Notre Dame tonight. Notre Dame not ranked. Terps, you know, once again, don't get a glamour matchup at home in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. But Notre Dame, certainly a competent program with a lot of talent, some local flavor to that. Mike Bray, a local guy, the head coach. So a lot of pride for those guys coming back home and playing in the Xfinity Center against the Terps, and I think it'll be a great environment. You want to put a name like Notre Dame up on the resume and keep on rolling. Terps have a very interesting stretch coming up here, Keith. Notre Dame starts it off tonight. They then go into Big Ten play. Once again, Big Ten play starting early with these two games in December. Illinois on Saturday, who was fancied coming into the year, hasn't necessarily lived up to that, but they're going to be talented. Penn State on the road, who always gets up to play the Terps, and then at Seton Hall December 19th. A really interesting four-game stretch. If the Terps can get out of there 4-0, they're going to solidify themselves as one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And some other great matchups there. Miles Powell for Seton Hall, obviously having a very good season. And, you know, that'll be another big test for Maryland's defensive, you know, efforts, whether it's Daryl Morsell or somebody else having to guard him. But Illinois in a battle the other night against Florida State, coming all the way back to almost take the lead and win that game at home, unfortunately. I believe it was
Miami.
Miami, correct. Yep. Yeah, Miami. Florida State played last night. I get my Florida teams mixed up sometimes.
Look, I think you got them messed up.
I was
up
watching Indiana, Florida State last night. So
yes,
were in my brain.
Indiana, yes. who's also undefeated. You pointed out, Keith, Terps play them January 4th. That could be undefeated versus undefeated because Indiana looks like they have a pretty manageable schedule coming in there. So don't want to look too far ahead, but that's also another pretty big game.
Absolutely.
But as you said, that Miles Powell situation, we'll get to that when that happens. But that could be a really fascinating thing. And once again, talking to Wiggins, who's also going to be tasked with stopping some of these guys when Morsell can't play all 40 minutes. And Aaron is obviously the guy that sort of has that similar kind of length and athleticism at the wing spot. He's going to be tasked with stopping a guy like Miles Powell as well. So the Terps looking very good in Orlando. Saw some great stuff from them, and also coming together, I think, team chemistry-wise has been very, very good. So some big matchups coming up. Make sure you take a look and come out to the Xfinity Center if you can, especially Saturday night. That's a good time to come out and watch the Terps against Illinois. But let's get to that interview with Aaron Wiggins, Keith. And I got to be honest, one of the best chats I think we've had. We love the student athlete ones because, you know, it's fun to get them on. Aaron Wiggins is not a hard guy to get going. He was telling a story after story.
We could have gone 2 hours with
no him. Doubt about
Aaron it. Aaron has to get his day going. He has to move on to the next thing. But he was awesome. Fun conversation, and I think you guys are going to enjoy it.
Absolutely, very interesting stuff about Aaron's. You know, it's been well documented, some of the stuff he did extracurricularly before school. We got into some of that. His look at maybe hosting a talk show host in the future, and we got him salivating about some food, but we won't give away that answer. Let's get to our chat with Maryland guard Aaron Wiggins. As the University of Maryland celebrates the start of another athletic season, Maryland Athletics is excited to announce the launch of Terps 10,000, our campaign for a goal of 10,000 Terrapin Club members. Individuals who join the Terrapin Club during the campaign and become new members will receive a Maryland Terrapin Club branded flag to proudly fly at your home, office, or tailgate. All current members are eligible to receive a flag by donating an additional $55 to the Terrapin Club. Plant your flag at terps10k.com. We're back here on Hear the Turtle with Maryland basketball's Aaron Wiggins. Aaron, first of all, thanks for coming on the show, man.
Thank you for having me. Really excited.
Coming off three huge wins down in Orlando, you guys made the magical place on earth, most magical for you guys. Mm-hmm. What was it like to win that tournament? It really felt like it all came together in that championship game against Marquette. Where do you feel like you're coming together as a team right now as you start to enter these first couple games of conference play?
I feel like chemistry-wise, realizing just like how good we can be when we play as a team, I think that's really coming together for us. And we saw it against Marquette. I mean, it showed really, it just showed that when we play as a team, when we're sharing the ball, when we're all locked in to our scouting report, that we're a team that we're definitely a top three team, top five team in the nation. And I mean, you know, this trip was really fun for us. Everybody was really excited to get away from the home for a little bit, just because, you know, we have five straight home games, no away games. And, you know, I think guys were really excited just to see a new atmosphere for a quick second. But I mean, it was a really good trip for us. You know, we were able to see what we had on and off the court chemistry wise. And I think guys got a lot closer relationship wise.
What is it when you have a game against, like you did against Marquette? You can talk about the defensive performances, the offensive performances, mm-hmm. where you're in the game and you know that everything's firing on all mm-hmm. cylinders, like you're sort of in that type of rhythm on both ends of the floor. Mm-hmm. What kind of feeling does that give a player or a team? Because that's got to be where you feel like, oh, my God, we're really fulfilling sort of what we feel like we can mm-hmm. be.
Oh, I mean, it's incredibly fun. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw it, but towards the end of the game, it was like maybe 7 minutes on the clock. There was a possession where we missed the shot, and Marquette, they were in a zone. We missed the jump shot, and Darryl got an offensive rebound. And when he grabbed the rebound, he kicked it out to Eric, and like we just started laughing. Because it was just a feeling, because we had the crowd behind us. Like, they had just went on a little run, and we started getting back into our little flow to stop their run. And getting that offensive rebound, I mean, we just realized, like, we're a team that really can't be stopped when we're locked in. And so Darryl grabbed the offensive rebound, and he kicked it out to EA, and they kind of started giggling. And then EA threw a really quick dart to Darryl, and Darryl acted like he was going to shoot it. Then he threw it to me. I acted like I was going to shoot it, and I threw it back out. And it was just a really fun moment, because, like, we realized that like we're a team that really has a lot of depth, has a lot of talent, and that when we're having fun, you know, it's incredible to watch, and it's incredible to be a part of.
Aaron, last season you didn't play in a holiday tournament quite mm-hmm. like that. This year it's kind of a new thing, maybe not knowing what to expect, mm-hmm. but to see all the Maryland fans there yeah. and to have them behind you, you know, kind of going back and forth with that mm-hmm. Marquette crowd, what was that environment like, you know, that almost home game away from home?
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible. I remember last year on Thanksgiving, a few of the guys went to Ant's house, and we sat down and we watched this tournament on TV. And I remember just thinking, like if we're in that tournament, like, how do you think our fans would show out? And I remember walking out there Thursday night and ready to play Temple, and I see tons of Maryland fans. Like, I think they had just let the fans in, and they're just piling up in the stands. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, where did they come from? This is insane. And, like, we go to warm up, and as we're running out, they start screaming and cheering for us. And just knowing that you have that behind you, like, you have the fan base behind you, traveling with you, like, cheering you on, like, that, it has a big effect on the game. You know, when the momentum swings, when there's a change of tempo in the game, having that crowd behind you is incredible. And, I mean, seeing them out there every single game with the same energy, same love, like, just out there encouraging us and cheering us on, it was great to have, so.
And a little behind the scenes, after the game, I give you my phone. I said, okay, go into the crowd with the trophy. Yeah. And you didn't flinch. You're like, yeah. Oh, I got this. Grabbed that trophy, went right in. You got everybody in back.
After playing in front of them three games in a row in Orlando, like that far away from Maryland, like, and still having that fan base and that support, you know, I wasn't hesitant to go out there and show some love back to them. You know, we had just won a championship. And if they weren't there to cheer us on, give us that momentum, I mean, that's an extra boost. So, I mean, their love and their support, you know, had a big effect on the way that we played. So, I mean, just going out there and showing that love right back was, you know, I was really excited to be able to do that.
That's pretty cool to be able to go into the fans like that. What makes Maryland fans special to you? You've now been here for, you know, a year and then a couple of games this time, and you have them travel like that. Yeah. What makes Maryland's fan base special?
Just their passion. I mean, seeing how much they truly love Maryland and the way that they, like, actually, like, want what's best for the teams, for the players, for the coaches. I mean, like, there's times where, you know, last year a few times we came off really big losses, games that we could have won, games that, you know, came all the way down to the wire. And regardless of if something goes bad, if somebody makes a bad play, they're still telling, like, you can hear them in games sometimes telling you, like, next play, don't even worry about it. So, I mean, just those little things, seeing their passion for not only, like, Maryland, but also like the team as a whole. I mean, it has a big difference on the way that us as players think, because we know that we have they have our backs regardless of what happens.
Now you're down there in Orlando. You're not just playing basketball. You had the sun.
Yeah.
You had the warmth. I was still here in Maryland. I was like, I need to go down there with these guys. Like this. You had the chance to go to Disney World, and we saw the videos of you guys with the Star Wars stormtroopers, and it looked like they got over on Ricky Lindo a little bit. It looked like they were about to take him to the Death Star, something like that. What was the situation there?
Yeah, break down this scenario here.
So we're actually walking. Like we had just gotten to Disney. Like we had maybe been there 10 minutes, and we had just started walking around. And Ricky and Travis, I believe, they said something about Star Wars, wanting to go over to the Star Wars part of the park. So we started walking over there, and as we're walking over there, I don't know what they're called. I've never seen Star Wars. Oh, like, yeah. I don't know much about it. But the guys in the white, like
the stormtroopers.
So, like, two or three stormtroopers walk past us. And, like, they see that we're a Maryland basketball team because we got our gear on and stuff. And so they, like, kind of stop and they look at us. And, like, we're all like, oh, like, we make a big deal. Like, oh, he pressed you. Like, he pushed you out the way. Like, we make it a big deal as if they, like, you know, kind of, like, mess with us. And so, like, everybody kind of, like, they, like, tried to, like, stand, hold their ground and act like they were all big and tough. And then the gladiators or the stormtroopers. They said, like, one of them said to us when they walked by, they were like, I'll remember you. Like, that's what they said. And then, like, once we get over there, we see that they're about to have their little show or whatever. So, like, they get on stage and they do their little thing. And then they come down. And I think it's Darth Vader.
Kylo Ren, yeah, whatever that guy is. Yeah,
so him. He comes down with the stormtroopers. And as they're coming down, like, I'm sitting here looking at one of the stormtroopers, and I'm like, I see you. I'm saying to him, like, we want all the smoke. So, whatever. Like, we can make it whatever you want to make it. And so as they're walking down, they see us because, like, we're the tallest guys in the crowd, so we're all out there. And
easy
to
pick out.
We're out there messing with them, like, trying to mess with them. So they come straight to us. And I just remember, like, I told him, I see you. And so he walks straight to me, and me not wanting that attention or wanting them to come up to my face, I say, that man right there, and I point at Ricky. And so all three of them turn to Ricky, and they kind of look him dead in his eyes. And Ricky, I mean, he had fun with it, but, you know, he obviously looked a little scared. You know, he had a really big smile on his face. And I don't know what they said. They said something like, we're coming back for you. Like,
oh, wow. Yeah.
And then the stormtrooper, he was telling all of us to calm down because we were still making a big deal. Like, oh, he messing with you, Rick. And, I mean, it was just a really fun time for the guys that went, you know, just more time to build team chemistry, get out there, have some fun. And, you know, I mean, it's beautiful out there in Orlando. I mean, 75 degrees out there just walking in shorts and a T-shirt while over here it's raining and freezing cold. But, yeah. I mean, it was a great trip for a couple of days, you know, really fun. And, I mean, that was obviously, you know, one of the most fun parts of the trip.
So if we lose Ricky Lindo, it's probably a Star Wars.
Probably a Star Wars.
We have a point where we thought we lost
something like that. Yeah.
Aaron, anybody who spends a couple minutes with you knows, you know, very outgoing personality, like to engage with people. Is that kind of how you've always been growing up, or is that something that's come along, you know, as you've gotten older? Where does that come from?
I definitely think it's something that's come along as I gotten older. Like, I mean, I think a lot of people know this. My mom and dad, they made sure that I was an extracurricular activities and that I was always doing a bunch of different things. Starting in like third, fourth, fifth grade, I was taking dance lessons. They had me doing dance lessons, piano lessons. I took trumpet. Like, I was playing the trumpet, the trombone. So, I mean, I was always in or doing something. And then my mom made sure that I was in plays. I did High School Musical, Wizard of Oz. And then in my junior year of high school, I stopped after my junior year with all the extracurricular activities, really. But my junior year of high school, I was singing in what was called the Minna Servant for my school. So, like, it was kind of like a choir. And, I mean, I was just always in extracurricular activities, so I got to meet people who were really outgoing, and then, like, those guys were the most fun people to be around. And so I kind of, like, picked up different things here and there from other people, and it kind of made my personality and made me who I am. And so, I mean, I just realized that when you're around people who are really outgoing and really positive and always full of energy, you know, it only spreads and helps, you know, it increases other people's, you know, energy. And I mean, it just makes everything around them more fun. So, I mean, it's come, you know, naturally as I've grown. And once I got here, I just realized, you know, this is who I am. Like, I'm not going to try and hide it. I'm just going to, you know, be outgoing and be who I am.
If I brought in a trumpet or trombone, and I was like, "All right, you got to play me something." Ooh. What would be like your go-to song? All right, I've got to entertain some people with a trumpet. Like, this is what I'm going with right now.
I don't know. I haven't played the trombone in probably 3-4 years, honestly. I mean, it's been a minute because I stopped right at, like, my junior year of high school. So, I mean, it's probably been 3 or 4 years. I couldn't tell you. On the piano, I could play a few different things.
Okay,
like,
piano.
There's a song called Signs by Drake. Okay. I could play that on the piano a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, it's a few songs. All I got to do for piano is really hear it.
Right.
And I just mess with the
piano
a little
bit. Get the
chords
or whatever.
And eventually I'll be able to put something together with,
very
like,
nice.
The chords and
you
stuff.
You just got to have enough to have, like, a party trick. So, like, when you're, like, out there and, like, someone's got a keyboard, you can be like, oh, Aaron, can you do anything? You're like, no. Wait, seriously, do something, and then you can figure it out.
Under promise, over deliver.
Yeah. If basketball didn't work out, and it's obviously working out very well for you, but if basketball didn't work out, which of those would you go back to? Like, would you be playing an instrument? Would you go on stage? Like, what were you the most drawn to of all of those things? By the way, I love that your parents made you do that stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know. I really enjoyed my time on stage. I feel like naturally it's really easy for me to speak in public. You know, I've never had problems, like, performing publicly when it comes to speaking and stuff, whether it was, like, singing, dancing, like, any of that stuff. So, I mean, I'd probably do something speaking-wise, like, on stage or something. Not quite sure what it would be. I don't know if it'd be like a talk show host or something. I don't, you know, anything could work out.
Like a variety show.
Yeah, I mean, there could be anything. But then at the same time, you know, I've always had a thing for music. I love, like, singing, playing instruments, just messing around with stuff. So, like, I mean, I couldn't tell you what
I mean, well, we have obviously nothing to do right now. Let's figure out this talk show. So what would your talk show be? I mean, you got it in your head. You've got a broadcasting thing too. You're trying to play it off.
Well,
come on, let's build the Aaron Wiggins show.
Can Taylor and I be guests on the talk show?
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
I mean, definitely.
Right. So
are you one of a late night guy? Or are you bringing people in like Oprah, putting them on the couch, but like, let's figure out the problems
I watch a lot of Jimmy Fallon.
Okay. There you go. See,
what's the other Jimmy?
Jimmy Kimmel.
I watch them every, like, I try and catch their shows pretty often. Sorrell could tell you, we're sitting in a hotel the other night in Orlando, and I just went on YouTube and I turned on Jimmy Fallon, and like, I mean I love those guys. They're hilarious guys.
Reese Mona made it on Jimmy Fallon
last year
during the tournament,
right?
You're like, why not me?
But I watch those guys. I find those guys hilarious. Like, I love the little bits that they have and do. My favorite ones are probably the ones where they bring in, like, exotic animals.
Those are
hilariously funny.
Used to be Steve Irwin back in the day.
Really?
Used to do a couple of those. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you could pull off the when Jimmy Fallon does the musical impressions when he brings in and he does the wheel.
Those are hilarious. Yeah. I love all of those. I mean, I can tell you what it is, but I mean, those things just really entertain me and bring me a lot of joy. You know, I find them really funny, and I like those things.
So it is. We'll do basketball. You'll get the notoriety, and then people are just going to be, then you'll be lining up. Then that's what all these guys do.
Yeah.
They just set themselves up.
Find a way. Yeah.
Shaquille O'Neal, he's like a DJ now.
Yeah,
right. He's jumping in the crowd.
He's on everything.
Oh,
he's
my gosh.
Dwayne Wade just jumped right on TV. He's like, I'm done playing. Here I am right on TV.
Yeah.
Obviously, to get to all of your goals at this point, you know, you did a lot besides basketball, and then now. Is that inner drive? Is the drive to work harder, do things like that? And Keith and Sean always would come up and talk about how hard you guys were working in the gym all through the offseason, coming off that loss to LSU where you wanted to get farther and things like that. Where does that drive for you specifically and also this team sort of come from? Does it stem from that failure and then you sort of build on that? And for you, you know, where does that sort of inner drive come from?
Yeah, for me specifically, I'm not really sure what it is. I just know from a young age, like, I've always just had a passion for basketball. Like, I could say probably when I first started playing YMCA basketball, I was like 5 or 6 years old. And I remember going home and crying after a loss. I played my dad, my brothers, my older sister, and like my older sister and my dad would be on the same team versus me when I'm 7 years old. And they beat me in a basketball game and I'd like run off the court. Cause I had a court right across the street from my house. I'd run off the court crying and run into my house. And like, I always remembered that. And like, my dad would always tell me, you can't be a sore loser. Like, with winning comes losing. And that was just one something that I had to learn growing up. But I never liked losing. So, I mean, it's always just been in my nature to be really passionate about basketball and just to love, I just love competing. And, I mean, for our team, I mean, I just think – so, I mean, coming off the loss from LSU last year, that was obviously a really big deal for us, you know, because we were one point – like, that one bucket away from the Sweet 16. So, I mean, seeing that and having literally every guy return except for Bruno, I mean, we just knew that, like, we could be that much better. And, like, so, like, right after that loss, Turge tells us, he's like, you guys can take a week, 2 weeks off. And guys are back in the gym literally 2 or 3 days later. Like, they tried to take days off. And I remember 3 days later, me and Darryl, we're in here getting shots up. And it was just like, because we can improve. We can take every single day and just make a big improvement, that big of a jump. So, I mean, and then the freshmen came in, and they just bought in right away. Dante, mentally, he just brought so much, like, toughness to our team. He jumped right in, and he you know, he'd give you a little bump, like, to let you know that he's here. And so, like, I mean, that toughness, that mentality, just to work hard, to not back down from any challenge in front of you, you know, it's just something that each and every one of us have now. And it's just a matter of us being tough and wanting to be, you know, the best team we can be.
And you talk about making those improvements and putting in that time. One of the things that you put in some time with is the slide board.
Oh, yeah.
Now, number one, explain to us what the slide board is to the unathletic types, Taylor and I, who
Keith is athletic. I am not.
Well, I've never been on a slide board. Yeah. So, no, and how does it make you better?
Yeah. Okay, so the slide board, I mean, it's like this big – it's literally like a board that you just lay on the ground, and it has like this – it's slippery. I don't know what it, I don't know how to describe it, but it's slippery, and you put on these little like – cloth boots that go around your shoes, and they make like you literally have no grip on the ground. You literally slide all over the place. And there's these little like blocks on the sides that your feet run into, and you have to push off of them, and you just slide back and forth different directions. And there's 8 different sides, so it's a little octagon or whatever. And so at the end of the season, I remember Terrence telling me, he's like, you got to get better defensively. He was like, he said, I want you to be one of the best defenders on our team. He said, you got to be able to guard the best players in the Big Ten. And the best thing for you is the slide board. So he told Kyle, he was like, I want Aaron on the slide board as much as possible. And knowing me, I'm like, shoot, I'm passionate about the game. I want to get better. Yeah. I want to do slide board. So I go to Kyle and I'm like, I want to do slide board 3-4 times a week before every practice or whenever I can. And so I go and I'm just putting the boots on before weights, before individuals, before practice, before like just to do it, like just to do it just because I want to get better. And so I'm out there, and for 15, 30 minutes before my practice or whatever, I'm sliding from block to block. And it's just change of direction, change of speed, you know, quickness, lateral movement, side to side, all those things. And I mean, because basketball is a game of cuts. You got to be able to move your feet, slide your feet, turn, change direction. All those things have a big effect on, you know, your ability to move on the court. And so, like, I'm sitting here working on this 20, 30 minutes, and Kyle has 30 different variations for me to go through.
I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah, he literally has 30 different variations for me to go through to, like, get better, to, like, work on every single aspect or change of direction that I might see in game. And so, like, I'm sitting here working on this, and then eventually it started transferring over onto the court. Like, I started to notice these little bits of change of direction and being able to make this quick slide to stay in front of my man. And once I started noticing the little bit of difference that it was making on the court, I really bought in. Like, it probably took a month in the summer before I realized how much it was helping me. And then that second month, I just really went crazy. Like, literally 30 minutes every single day, almost like 4 or 5 times a day, I'm just going crazy on the slide board. And I mean, I still do it before practice now, because every 5 minutes that I can get on it, it's going to make me 5 minutes, like, that much better, just a little bit better. So, I mean, I want to take advantage of every opportunity I can to get better. And I just bought into it over the summer, over the fall, and I'm continuing to do it now.
That's a pretty cool thing to realize, the thing you're actually doing that Kyle's making you do 1,000 times. Like, wow, this is actually this is actually working.
Yeah.
In regards to the athleticism, you're putting up some pretty big dunks right now. I mean, you're starting to throw some ones down.
Yeah.
What's next? What do you have in store for us? I mean, the one-handed, like, hammer jam, I feel like, is kind of your thing right now.
Yeah.
Is there anything else in the bag?
I got a few things. Like, I don't know if you guys watched me in warm-ups. I mean, I got I got a couple dunks in the bag that I can do. You know, I'm waiting for that really, like, that wide-open breakout. Yeah. Once I get one of those, don't even worry about it.
All right.
Something's going to come out. But, I mean, you know, I'm just waiting for that, you know, that open look. Once I get that, you know, I might showcase something else.
Besides yourself, best dunker on the team right now. By the way, Eric Ayala, good for him. He's starting to throw him.
He's getting up there. He's getting up there.
No, he's really bouncy. He's always had that a little, like, that athleticism. It's just he lost a couple pounds over the summer, and that really, like, made it a big
got
boost
the bounce going,
his,
yeah.
Yeah. Besides me, I'd probably say Dante. Dante's really explosive, and I always joke with him because in-game he hasn't had that one where he's like gets up super high and he like completely like throws one down. And I always told him, like in Orlando against Marquette, he had the little lay-in dunk. And I say to him, I say, you have no in-game bounce. I'm like, in warm-ups, you'll watch him, and he's going crazy.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He's doing freak dunks. He's trying to do under the legs and all that. But then in game, he like barely gets up above the rim. And I'm like,
no stage fright for you.
I'm telling him, I'm like, you got to dunk that. You got to punch that. Get a fan so they want to see. But, I mean, he'll get it. He'll get comfortable. I mean, it's just a matter of him being set and, you know, realizing when he's about to get a dunk. But, I mean, Dante probably has the second most, you know, tricks in the bag besides me. And then Daryl's really explosive. He just – I think he's getting a little old on us, you know.
He's getting a little old on us, so he might be losing a little bit. We await the Dante Scott explosive dunk.
He'll have one. He's going to have one big one.
That's a good little tease for the fans. Yes. Wait to Dante Scott free reign in the lane.
Yeah, don't even worry about it.
We'll get you out of here in a little bit of rapid fire. First, what was your first concert you attended, and what was your favorite concert you've attended? Could be the same, obviously, but
So I've actually never attended like a music concert. Like,
wow,
that's
okay.
Surprising. Yeah, that's surprising.
I've never.
You're the one performing, so I guess that would make sense.
Yeah. What about dream concert? Who do you want to see?
Yeah. So
up close and personal.
Drake is my favorite artist of all time.
Okay.
But like, if I could go back in time, so this person's like deceased, obviously, but like Michael Jackson. I was a big Michael Jackson guy. I'd love to see him or Drake like perform live in person.
That'd be great. Yeah.
And Drake and Michael Jackson.
The legend.
Yeah.
Dream one. NBA player you grew up either watching, emulating,
Kobe.
Your game after. Yeah, I think that was going to be an easy one there.
Like, Kobe, I mean, he just, the way he approached the game and, like, how fun he was to watch. I mean, he did everything, like, easy. He made everything look super easy. And then, like, I didn't realize the way that he approached the game until maybe my sophomore year of high school. I'm sitting here reading things about him going at 4 a.m. in the morning to work out, and then seeing that he'll see somebody go out on the court from an away team. He'll see somebody come out on the court, and then he'll walk out there and take the court and tell him, like, you're not going to outwork me. Like, he'll go out there and get more shots of that guy just because, like, I don't care if you're from a different team. Like, I'm going to outwork you. So, I mean, seeing the way he approached the game, the way that he wanted to be great, you know, really inspired me, and it made me, you know, want to strive to be just great.
Tell you what, Kobe would respect that slide board.
Yeah.
Story you just told. So. That's a little mama mentality right there.
Oh, yeah.
That slide
board. Oh, yeah.
The TV show you're watching or streaming right now?
So,
besides Late Night, which we know.
Yes.
Yeah. So, The Office. Office is my favorite. Like, I've been back and forth with that all the time. Office and Friends. There's not one TV show that I, like, am watching that's, like, just
there's nothing, like, new right now that you're...
Yeah, nothing new that I'm really on right now. I've been on The Office, really, though.
There it is. Not a bad one.
Dream vacation.
Dream vacation? Ooh, I'm not sure what my dream... That's not something I've really thought about. I don't know. Going to Europe last year was incredibly fun
with
my guys.
Italy, yeah, pretty good.
Venice was wild.
Venice is wild.
Yeah. Venice is wild. But I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. You got plenty of time to figure that one out. Yeah.
So the answer could be you, I guess. But who would play you in a movie about yourself?
So I've heard a lot of people tell me I look like either Michael B. Jordan or Nick Cannon.
Okay, I
could see either one of them playing me. You know, two guys who kind of have a little bit of athletic build.
Yeah.
Who, you know, have personalities and really good actors. So yes. I mean, I believe Michael B. Jordan or Nick Cannon.
And both with the skill sets. Michael B. Jordan been in a sports movie.
Yeah.
So he could and been in a sports show, Friday Night Lights.
Yep.
Nick Cannon been in a drumming movie. He's never been in a sports movie, but he could do the performance. He could do high school and middle school Aaron Wiggins performing. Yeah. Those are two good choices.
Final question we ask this to everybody. Favorite place to eat in College Park?
Favorite place to eat in College Park? Right now for me is Chipotle.
Ooh, basketball team loves to go back to the Chipotle well.
Yeah. three times a week, maybe.
Just
go to Chipotle.
Take us through your order, and this does not have to be a Kyle Tarp approved order. This is like your order. Yeah.
All right. So
your eyes lit up there.
So last
the Kyle Tarp order.
Last year, I actually changed my order because of Kyle Tarp. Like,
oh wow, he's totally gotten to you at this point.
Last spring, he saw one of my bowls, and he was like, "What are you eating?" And I was like, is this bad? And he was like, cut it. Like, you can't have this anymore. So, like, my order last year used to be a bowl with a tortilla on the inside. Tortilla bowl. I'd get white rice, black beans, double chicken. Then I'd get, like, salsa, corn, lettuce, cheese, and sour cream. And I'd fill it up.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, no, I'd fill it up. I'd go crazy. And, like, I'd ask for extra sour cream, like double sour cream. And then,
oh my God!
Double sour cream. Yeah.
Who said that?
Caroline Steele.
Caroline Steele from Women's Lacrosse said she gets double sour cream too. Yeah, and I thought that was gonna be the only time I ever heard that, but apparently not.
It's actually insane. So like, I get double sour cream, and I remember Kyle. He saw what I had one time, and he said, "Sour cream is the most unhealthiest thing that you could have. Like, what are you doing?" So like, he said to me something about like he was like, or like we did body fat tests. We tested our body fat, and mine was like. 11% body fat. And that's nothing near what I wanted. Like, I think I had the second highest on the team, which was insane to me because I would have expected me to be, like, the second lowest or something. And so, like, I told myself, like, I want to drop that, like, 6%. Like,
you got shamed by the bod pod.
Yeah, I did. I did. So I talked to Kyle, and he was like, stop with the sour cream. Like, eat healthier. Be smarter with your choices. So now my bowl would be no tortilla.
Carbs out.
Bowl, brown rice, double chicken. I got rid of beans, too.
Okay. Wow.
Brown rice, double chicken, salsa, lettuce, and cheese. And then I get, like, the side...
salad dressing?
Salad dressing.
Okay. There's a little something on it.
Put something on it. Yeah. And that's my order. And I used to get the chips with the queso. Stop with the chips. Stop with the queso. I used to get, like, two or three apple juices. Stop with the apple juices.
You can get apple juice at Chipotle? That's the most savage thing I've ever heard.
So I stopped with the apple juice. I went to straight water, only water. Every now and then I have, like, lemonade or something, but, like, straight water. And got rid of sour cream, got rid of tortilla, and even stopped with the beans and just stuck with, like, trying to, you know, cut down on my body fat.
So. There it is. It'll help you get to where you need to go from a basketball perspective, but there's some hurt in your eyes talking about that.
I kind of miss it.
Especially of the apple juices. Well, here's what you do. You go through the season, you have a lot of success, and that first one after the season's over, just splurge on it. Just do it one time.
I might have to look at it.
Yeah. Aaron Wiggins, good luck the rest of the season. Thanks so much for coming on. We can't wait to see what you and the rest of the guys do the rest of the
year. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Aaron.
Back here on Hear the Turtle, and as you said, Keith, I just love listening to Aaron Wiggins talk. I hope to be listening to him talk after he's finished playing basketball because that guy wants to host a talk show, and I think you and I could maybe be you've got some musical inclination. Maybe you lead the band. I could be maybe his straight man or something like that. Yeah. I don't know, something involving that show because he's going to be good, man. That guy is very engaging.
Yeah, you're almost like the Andy Richter kind of playing off Conan kind of deal. I'm leading the charge with the band in the background. Yeah, you know, I mean, hopefully the talk show format as we know it is still alive and well.
Yes.
By the time Aaron
he may not be hosting a late night show on like an NBC. He's going to be just hosting like a 10-episode Netflix special where he brings people on. Hopefully that's after a very long and illustrious NBA career because we know that is ultimately what Aaron wants to do first. But a really really good kid and shows the personality that this Maryland basketball team has. So make sure to come out and check out Aaron Wiggins this week and the rest of the Terps. Other Terp sports in action. Maryland football over and done with for the season. Dropped that season finale to Michigan State. Played a very competitive game, but ultimately came up short in East Lansing. But so awards to talk about, and I think it's definitely good to harp on Javon Leak, who turned himself into one of the best return men in the country this year. Wins the Big Ten Returner of the Year. A great award for him. Was also obviously named the first team returner. And then only defensive awards out at this point. So have to give a shout out to Antoine Brooks, our guy, who we love on this show, who is a second team All Big Ten selection. Then Keandre Jones, Ace Ely, and Nick Cross, also named All Big Ten selection.
So 4 out of 5 have had some type of interaction with Hear the Turtle.
Yes, they have. Ace Ely
was the summer locked in day, which some people may remember.
And the live version. We had Keandre Jones on with Shaq Smith.
Yes, and Javon.
And Twan, I think we would have on this show every week if
yes,
we could.
Yes, yes.
And we will have Nick Cross on this show at some point. I think there's no doubt the way he's tracking. A heck of an honor to be an all-Big Ten selection in such a good conference as a true freshman. So Maryland football done for the year. Signing day coming up in a few weeks. Mike Loxley and the crew will get on the trail and try to complete that class in a good fashion as Maryland football looks toward the future next season. Also, a shout-out to Anthony McFarland, who's declared for the NFL draft. We wish all the best to Anthony. A great Terp, was fantastic last year. Slowed this year a little bit by injuries, Keith, but had a great game to finish against Michigan State. Women's basketball in action this week. They also were in Florida. They blew out Clemson. They blew out Belmont. Not really much to discuss there. Those were absolute routs as Brendan Freeze's crew tries to get back on track after that loss a couple of weeks ago to South Carolina. They've got a pretty big matchup on Thursday night, Keith, against North Carolina State, a team that's pretty consensus top 15, 12 in a ranking, 14 in a ranking.
And Maryland had played there in the NCAA tournament a few years
ago. A couple of years ago, yes, and lost that game. Yes. So potentially a little bit of revenge. I'm sure that's not on the mind of this team. They want to obviously continue growing into conference play, but you always want to win your ACC Big Ten Challenge game, especially against a former ACC rival. So women's basketball continues to be in the top 10. And that women's basketball ranking, Oregon just lost as the number one team, so that's kind of looks a little bit up for anybody. So we'll see what the Terps can do in that. Obviously, a lot of talent on that team. All of the fall sports besides that, Keith, finuto. Volleyball done. Men's soccer falls in the second round of the NCAA tournament. So we are done from a fall sports perspective. We're on to the winter.
I mean, you know, it's December 4th. We're moving forward here, Taylor.
And it's cold. It is cold outside.
It is.
You want to go back to Orlando?
I kind of do. Yeah. That was nice. Yeah. Rocking a T-shirt, rocking a polo outside.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I miss it.
I just saw Snapchats, and I just was sitting there, and it's cold in Baltimore. Mm. I'm just thinking about how nice that would have been. Mm. That's great stuff. You got a little sampling of that. But now, you're away from the heat. We've got a red-hot basketball team.
That's right.
And that's how you do it. Shout out to Mark Titus, and that's how you do it.
That's our cue to end the show.
And that's our cue to end the show. Absolutely. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media channels, at HerTheTurtle on Twitter, at HerTheTurtle on Instagram, Sneds311 for Keith Snedden across from me. I'm TaylorSmythe10 on Twitter and Instagram and Venmo. No, not on Venmo. I think I'm just Taylor Smythe on Venmo. You don't want to Venmo.
I'm Sneds311 on Venmo.
And he does want you to Venmo him stuff. We'll see you next week.
Go Terps.